Mike Dempsey. Look, I hear from people all the time who are having tax problems, but don't be afraid of the IRS. Right now, you can talk or meet with local professionals that are here to help your specific tax issues. Accelerate your tax solution with Accelerated Tax Solutions.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Yeah, settle in, for crying out loud. Friday night in Duval, and it's going to be packed downtown. Leave early, people. Construction underway. Tedeschi Trucks coming up in just a little bit. A couple of bands, including Los Lobos. Before Tedeschi Trucks, I would gather that they'll begin in the 9 o'clock hour. The Sharks are in town tonight at the arena. You got the Jumbo Shrimp at the baseball ground. So we'll say this. Jacksonville has phenomenal facilities. And, you know, obviously the big issue is going to be the facelift and when they reconstruct what is going on down at the bank for the future of the Jacksonville Jaguars and everything else that's going to be put into place as far as the growth of downtown. But, yeah, I love the legendary Florida Theater. To me, it's a staple, and I was lucky enough to be there last Friday night to see Robbie Krieger of the Doors. The St. Aug Amphitheater, to me, is just incredible. And what's there not to love about St. Aug? And, you know, some of those St. Aug people once in a while, because I spent a lot of time there. Typically, I like to play golf on Saturday, go to the beach on Sunday. Usually do Matanzas, St. Aug, head through the city. You know, some of those folks there, I sense a little bit of a rivalry. And I'm like, come on, what's up? I mean, this ain't New York, New Jersey. We're not battling the other side of the Hudson. And I know there's some old school around here about being in inland and being on the other side of the ditch, and folks down at the beach aren't ever going to go to the other side unless they are going downtown to a concert or a sporting event. But it seems like some of those St. Aug folks are like, yeah, we don't mind you coming over here and spending the money. Tip well, then turn around and leave. Never been able to figure that out. But, yeah, I love to me it's all part of a large group here in North Florida. As a matter of fact, I think I'm closer where I live in Bartram to downtown St. Augustine than I am to downtown Jacksonville. But, you know, the baseball grounds is just phenomenal. All right. The arena, you know, I remember I was here in the 90s and I was doing the hockey games. You had that old, kind of looked like a flying saucer. It was pretty funny because we would do the games and people would be asking all the time, hey, how can I get you on radio? You couldn't even pick up the local radio. I was on the ball then inside that building. Can you imagine that when we were doing the broadcast? For those who are old school and remember those days, you couldn't even put on your Walkman or whatever the heck it was back then and listen to Joe Zidlow and I do Jacksonville Lizard King games. Of course, they knocked down that building and now you have Daly's Place. So, yeah, we are blessed, no doubt about it. Going to be a lot of fun. I was lucky enough last night to spend some time with Derek and Susan, and Los Lobos was there, and it was a little rehearsal, and it was a little kind of kickoff for this leg of the tour, which begins tonight, and they're on their way to Mobile, Alabama, and, you know, they're on the road. And it's going to be special. I got to tell you right now, if you don't have tickets and you don't know what to do on a Friday night, get to Daly's Place. See the Tedeschi Trucks band. You will be absolutely blown away. I'll be the first to raise my hand and say, this is really not my style of music. I'm not a blues guy, okay? I'm a classic rock and roll guy. Sometimes late at night, I like to play some love songs. You know what I'm talking about? Barry Manilow, Neil Diamond, little Gordon Lightfoot, little Harry Chapman's.
Now, I'm not good with bands, but I knew some of those.
Mm-hmm.
So those are pretty
like
good.
To do that, like disco. I mean, I wish I was kind of running and ripping in the 70s. you can ring my bell and all that good. I mean, I love that. Oh, it's all good. But blues has never really been my thing. Tedeschi Trucks? Holy freaking Toledo. Do they get after it? And we saw them there a year ago. It was a very limited band. It was, in the middle of COVID, and I believe there were six of them that were out there, and they got the full allotment of them in now. I had a chance to talk with them all last night. Mike Mattson, a Harvard guy, is from Minnesota. He's their lead singer as well, or Susan is, but he's the gentleman who has got an incredibly, incredibly talented and very good sounding voice. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, they come here every year. Every once in a while I'll be like, support the Jags. And I think we all do our part there. I understand what that's about. The diehard fans are going to come. Like everything else in this state, things are based on winning. You can start from Miami and make your way all the way down through here and over to Tallahassee. And if you look at the Heat, the Panthers, the Marlins, the Dolphins, the Canes, you get to the Magic. All right, right before that, you get to the Bucks, you get to the Rays, you get to the Lightning, you get to the Gators, you get to the Jaguars, you get to the Seminoles. One day, if bribed, I may start to bring up Central Florida and South Florida. One day. Certainly that's not going to start on Friday.
When do you think it'll happen?
You know what? Money talks, man.
That is true.
I'm not a politician, so I can accept a bribe. And as long as it's not payola plugola, you can influence me. I'm going to openly admit that.
Blood money guaranteed involved?
Money or perhaps other things. I don't know.
Six pack.
I was thinking more like a case. Miller Lite. But every one of those teams I mentioned, college or pro, when they're not winning, people don't show up, okay, at the same extreme. I mean, my goodness, you go to a Lightning game now, it may be the best ticket in this state. I've been to playoff hockey games. And, oh, by the way, we're going to check in with J.P. Peterson coming up here in about 15 minutes to get us ready for Game 5 tonight. Is Colorado going to win their first Stanley Cup since 2001? Tough, tough sledding tonight for Tampa. Not only do they have to win away from home in the Mile High City, but they got to turn around and win two more. Of course, right now they're thinking only one. But the diehards are going to show. Well, the diehard, the great music fans, they're going to show tonight for Tedeschi Trucks, but this is one of yours, man. This is what I don't get. They sell out all over the place. They should be selling this place and packing it to the gills tonight. Tedeschi Truck. So, look forward to seeing you out there. We're actually going to replay the interview I did with both Susan and Derek on Monday. We're going to run that around 7:20 or so. I figured a lot of music fans will be heading downtown at that particular time to get to Daly's Place. So, want to give you an opportunity to listen to it if you did miss it. Florida State, they get a deal done with Link Jarrett today, and it's been a long, long time for me since I was actually proud of my alma mater, okay? That's painful for me to say because I've tried to divorce Florida State. It's impossible. It's been injected into my veins. It's been injected into my arteries. I'll never stop caring about the beloved until I take my final breath and I fall in the wooden box. But getting Link Jarrett the way that they did, I mean, Michael Alford, what's up? What's going on over there? Mike Martin Jr. absolutely deserved to be fired. But I was shocked that he was because Florida State has been such a Mickey Mouse organization for the last decade plus. I mean, everything that they have done has backfired. And they run through AD after AD. You look at how horrible Stan Wilcox was. You had a bean counter who was a friend of the president and really had no idea about athletics and David Coburn. And you hear about Michael Offer coming out. I'm like, oh, well, here we go again. You know, it's again, it's like Florida State goes through athletic directors kind of the way that, you know, Kardashians go through men. What's the latest now? Kendall's out? Kendall and Booker broke up?
I can't even. I don't know.
Oh, I can. I can keep up with that stuff. 2 years and over. Okay.
I don't know what the latest one is. I'll get back to you in a second.
Yeah, do me a favor. Hop on. Give us some pop culture here. But Florida State goes through athletic directors the way the Kardashians go through men. And, man, I'm geeked right now for Michael Alford. I mean, this guy comes in. Granted, the soccer coach left. And you know what? Honestly, I don't even know his name. One of the very best. I just don't do soccer. You want to beat me up? Pound me. Get me on the text line, 641-1010. I don't have a glass jaw.
Brian Penske?
I can take a punch.
The women's soccer coach?
No, the men's.
Oh, okay.
One of the very best in the world. He abruptly left, I don't know, what was it, 6 weeks, 2 months ago? He just got up and walked away. But Michael Alford, I mean, all of a sudden, you make the move on Martin Jr. And again, I didn't think it would happen because, well, it made sense. And everything that has made sense lately with Florida State, they avoid doing. Well, he took no time getting Link Jarrett. And I know the naysayers out there can say, no kidding, Blue. You know, he went to school there. Everyone knew he was coming. All right. Well, Notre Dame's got deep pockets. And don't get me wrong. Where would you rather be a baseball coach? South Bend, Indiana, or Tallahassee, Florida? It's a two-second thought, and then you provide your answer. And, you know, I was over there when Link played, when I was lucky enough with the late Lee Bowen to do some away baseball games. I'm very happy about this. But, I mean, Michael Alford said goodbye and went out and got his man. And the best part about this is I think either directly or indirectly, damn it, it sends a message right to that football program. You better fix this thing or you're out. Remember how incredibly awful the pursuit of Mike Norvell was. It was laughable, okay? You had David Coburn, who didn't turn down an interview anywhere, and all Coburn did was look at you with that smug grin, like, we've got something up our sleeve, and don't tell us what's going on, and you have everyone coming out. You know, I love Hicken. Listen, I've known Dan Hicken for 30 years. He went on TV and said that Mark Stoops rejected the job, Bob Stoops rejected the job, James Franklin rejected the job, Vince Lombardi rejected the job, Chuck Knoll rejected. I mean, he can mention like nine guys, and it cost Florida State a recruiting class. Oh, we're going to wait for Mike Norvell to coach in whatever hell conference they're in, Cincinnati, Memphis, conference championship game. By the way, Billy Napier was in the same boat. You notice Florida said, you want to come here or not? Okay, let's announce it a week before the not David Coburn, not Florida State. Let's turn the other cheek here. It's freaking Memphis, all right? And again, it was handled so incredibly poor. It was awful. I get the feeling here, finally, with Michael Alford, that here's the deal. This is Florida State. Are you in? Are you out? The offer's there. So, if it doesn't work for Mike Norvell, and for the record, I hope it does, I don't want another change. I mean, the end of the Jimbo regime was a disaster. Okay, Willie Taggart never should have been hired in Tallahassee. The man can't coach. And Mike Norvell, it has been a struggle. And as far as I'm concerned, the excuse part is over. Yeah, he had the deal with COVID. Yeah, Kirby Smart had experience here. Manny Diaz had experience here. Dan Mullen had experience here. Mike Norvell didn't. He had zero ties in the state of Florida. He had five guys on his roster at Memphis from the state of Florida. COVID came. He couldn't hit the bricks and go recruit. So, yeah, it set him back. And I understand that. But that was 3 years ago. This team has to win. Look at their schedule. What are they? 6-6? Can you get 7-5? Can you get 8-4? I won't have it. It's not good enough. I want Florida State back to 10 wins a year. I want Florida State back to being the most dominant team in the Atlantic Coast Conference, one of the most dominant teams in college football. Don't tell me it can't happen. It can. This state is rich with talent. Florida State has tradition. Florida State has coffers. Not as many as Florida. Not as many as Georgia. But if you win, they come. This is a great day for Seminoles. It is. Mike Alford, congratulations. I finally believe Florida State has got their man. All right, you want to comment on that? You can. 641-1010. That is on the text line brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. We're busy tonight. We're going to do a lot of good things. We're going to be with you up until 8 o'clock. I do want to get down to Tampa and talk about Game 6. I'm going to have to lay tape on this one. Game 5. I'm going to have to lay tape on this one because I will be at the Tedeschi Trucks concert. And, yeah, I hope Tampa wins it. I want to see more hockey games. I want to see a weekend hockey game. So we have all that to take a look at. And, again, we'll be with you till 8 o'clock. Tonight's comments brought to you, and each and every night for that matter, by Ximenez Vision. Dr. Neil Ximenez has been a good friend of mine for a long time. He's talking about 30 years worth of, make that 37 years worth of experience. You know what happened to me again last night? All right, I might have gotten just a tiny bit sideways as far as my vision after that rehearsal with those bands and everything that kind of went along with it. And, yeah, I was laying in bed, and all of a sudden I started dozing. And what did I have to do? I had to get out of bed. I had to take my contacts out because I am not a candidate for laser eye surgery. You may be. Think of how that could change your life. I mean, the littlest of things, when your eyes get tired at night and you're on your cell phone, you're reading a book or whatever it is, and they start to strain, you got to put the readers on. Then all of a sudden something's happening on TV and, you know, you want to figure out, you got to take the readers off. You know what it's like. It's a hassle. Also, to get checked to see if anything's wrong with your vision. He performed surgery on my right eye 8 years ago. So this is a family organization. They focus on personal, high-quality medical and surgical eye care. Dr. Catherine Ximenez, fellowship trained in cornea and cataract surgery, or refractive surgery. You know, cataract surgery, in a lot of circles, is healthier than contacts, believe it or not. They don't believe me. Make an appointment. Talk to the good folks over there. They're out at the beach, and they are absolutely fantastic. That is ShmunezVision.com. Their number is 299-2906. Ximenez Vision, care you can see. All right, let's crank it up. We got a lot to do tonight. 641-1010, get us on the text line, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. Comments, Florida State fans, anything you heard me say, let me know. Anti-Florida State fans, do you think I'm already on the sauce early on this Friday? If so, 641-1010. Did I just give it away that I'm on it, Dylan? Was that a dead giveaway?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so as well. We're busy. It's a Friday. It's good to have you with us. With Dylan, my name's Baloo. This is the home of the Jags.
Let's go into the night with Rick Baloo on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Now. Yellow. Another interview on the Farrah and Farrah phone line, brought to you by the accident attorneys at Farrah and Farrah.
All right, it's a busy night downtown, including Tedeschi Trucks. They kick off this leg of their tour right here tonight in town. Should be a lot of fun. Los Lobos before them. I guess they'll get underway around 8. Tedeschi Trucks right after 9 o'clock. By the way, I'm going to replay the interview I did with Susan and Derek on Monday. I'll play that around 7:20. Right now, let's go down the road to Tampa, check in with my good buddy J.P. Peterson. A huge game tonight for the Tampa Bay Lightning. They are in Denver, and they are trying to stay alive against the Colorado Avalanche. J.P. has a radio show in Tampa. He also is the host of Lightning Hockey Night Live. What do you say, JP?
How are you, Rick Ballew? Are you just going to go right back past Tedeschi Trucks and Los Lobos concert? That is the most wonderful Jacksonville thing I could think of right there.
Oh, that, yeah.
That is a packed house, brother. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. And Derek's, you know, you and I are both Florida State grads. His son Charlie is getting ready for his junior year at Florida State. And Derek's a huge Florida State guy. Played golf with him last Saturday. And he's geeked out. I mean, Mike Alford today went out and got Link Jarrett. So, I mean, there hasn't been a lot of good news over there lately until, you know, the last couple of weeks.
You know what? When I heard the story the other day that we didn't get Chris Winkie for the want of like $30,000 on his salary, and I was so depressed. And then I finally saw that, oh, wow, we're spending $1 million on our baseball coach?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
That sounds – he's the best guy out there. We're spending the money. That's a move in the right direction.
Yep. On the brink are the Tampa Bay Lightning. I hate when I have to bring up umpires, officials, or referees, but what has the tone been like since game four in Tampa?
Well, you know, despite what you might hear on some of the national shows, that the ending of that game was analogous to the Saints playoff game when they didn't call the interference, the blatant interference in the NFC Championship game. Same call, same situation. You have turned a series, a championship series, on its end by missing maybe the most blatant sixth man on the ice call in the history of the Stanley Cup. And I know that might sound like hyperbole and maybe a little home cooking here, but I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong. You cannot have a guy coming off the ice three or four counts early when McKinnon was still on the ice on the other side of the blue line, 50 feet from the bench. Kadri gets on the ice, gets the speed, receives the puck while McKinnon is still on the ice, and Kadri is 50 feet away from the bench as the sixth man coming on the ice, and then splits the defense and scores a winning goal.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't get any worse than that. That rule is there so you don't take advantage of it, and to exacerbate it, the Lightning were on a long change, and Kadri knew it. He knew it. He broke the rule. He knew he could get away with it because it's overtime. They swallowed the whistles. They ain't calling the six men on the ice. It was a brilliant play. Cheating, but brilliant. He knew they're not going to call that, and he jumped on four counts early, took the pass, and scored the goal.
Yeah.
Egregious. That's all there is to it. But you got to move on.
I've watched a lot of hockey my entire life, and you know, for those who are not hockey fans, somewhat of an analogy, when you watch the NBA playoffs, including the finals, man, it feels like every other possession, there's a guy taking a third step, and you could call it travel. So, anyway, you know, you got four of them out there. You go back years ago, they added a second referee. You got two linesmen. Yeah. You got two referees. You only got 10 guys on the ice. You got two goaltenders and 10 guys. It's not like it's 22 guys in football. How do you miss a call? And how can you explain that this is a judgmental call? And regardless of what happened, you can't, because I think the NHL has the best reviewing policy of the NBA, MLB, and the NFL. I think the NHL's review was outstanding. But how can you not review this play?
Well, it's not in the rules. You're not allowed to review it. And here's why, Rick. You could probably take every goal in overtime or any goal, and most times during a change, there's seven people on the ice because there's two guys going over the wall and two guys coming on, right? So, but the rule is you have to be within 5 feet. You got to be within 5 feet. And Kadri was 60 feet away. All right, but regardless, this is why you have to have this reviewable. What they're afraid of is somebody said, we want to review that goal for too many men on the ice. And there's two guys going over the wall with skates still on the ice, and they say no goal. But you don't have to do that. You could write a rule that says, If you either touch the puck or in a dangerous scoring position and there are more than five men on the ice, you can review that. They make judgment calls all the time. Why can't they make – they can make a judgment call. And this would have obviously been under that purview because he was 60 feet away and already into the play when McKinnon was coming off. And I've heard so many people say, well, McKinnon's not in the play, so it doesn't even matter. Yes, it does. Yes, it does, because the guy who's coming on for him is on way early.
yeah,
and scoring the winning goal. That's why they have a rule like that. So whatever.
Game 5 coming up tonight, 8 o'clock in Colorado. The Avalanche up 3-1, trying to win their first Stanley Cup since 2001. Of course, Tampa Bay, the defending 2-time Stanley Cup champion, trying to make it 3 in a row. And you mentioned Kadri. For crying out loud, the guy's got the freshest legs in the barn, man. He missed, what, 18 days? He looks like he's a half step in front of everyone.
Well, he is. He's 60 feet in front. All right. I'm not talking about it anymore. No, he looked fresh.
Hey, listen, I still bring up Miles Jack wasn't down in Foxborough, the AFC Championship game a few years. I have no problem complaining about a bad call by an official.
It is what it is. But no, I think tonight is a game where they have to come out and play. We've talked a lot about this. They've got to come out and be aggressive because I think the Lightning have shown way too much respect for Colorado in this series.
Yeah,
they have to. And I think tonight they're going to let it loose. They're going to let Kucherov and Stamkos and every chance they get to pinch, which for you non-hockey fans means the defensive players getting into the flow of the offensive game. They're going to do it because sitting back and playing the defensive thing that they've done and then counterpunching has won them 2 cups. This Avs team is too talented for that. You cannot sit back, and they got an average beer league goalie. He played well in Game 4. I'll give it to him, but he's not that good. The Lightning, I think, tonight are going to make the decision to start pressing and leave Vasi to just see shots and see if he can stop them if they get caught. But they've got to press forward. They've got to be aggressive. They've got to get shots on temper. And I think if the Lightning are to win this game, and, very slight chance they win the series, they got to win games 7-5. Mm-hmm. They've been doing 2-1, 3-2 for 2 years. Can't do that with this team. You got to press them. You got to get on top of them, make them uncomfortable, and score goals. It's either 7-5 or you're going to lose. And so I think that's the story of tonight's game.
Yeah. Darcy Kemper of Colorado, 37 saves, his best game the other night. But Vasilevsky is totally, the big cat has totally turned it around. He allowed, 11 goals in the first two. He's allowed only 5 goals in the last 2 games. He's playing much better hockey.
He is. My fear is if you look at his numbers at home and away, this entire playoffs, his goals against are almost 2 goals a game higher on the road, which is ridiculous. He's over 3 goals per game average on the road and under 2 at home. So there's something going on with Vasi on the road. And I think it's also been the players in front of him. He just, he's very comfortable on his ice. He's very comfortable with the lighting. He complained a little bit about the lighting in Madison Square Garden. So I don't know. But the numbers are irrefutable. He's way better at home than he is on the road. So that to me says, go forward, try to win a 7-5 game, stop trying to win 3-2 games.
Well, special teams, JP. 1 of 14. On the power play? What's going on there?
Braden Point's is not played a lot. And he is such a key to their, you got Kucherov on one side and you got Stamkos on the other and Hedman at the top. There's 3 Hall of Famers right there. But removing Braden Point from the bumper spot has completely effed up their power play. So they're trying to figure out how to do it and they're just not having any success. And their penalty kill is also awful. Their penalty kill, they've tried to sit back and try to clog the lanes. And what Colorado does is they just pass it around for about 1:15 till your legs are dead. And then they come at you and they score every time.
Yeah.
So that's not working either. They tried to chase it a little bit and get in the last game. And Colorado was just so good handling the puck and on their power play that the Lightning cannot clear it. They can't get the puck. So they're having a hard time with special teams. So, again, an adjustment that they've got to fix if they're going to win tonight.
Yeah, it's a good team. Cal Makar is unbelievable. Let's stop with the Bobby Orr comparisons, but he's a very talented defenseman who I think he's second overall right now in points for Colorado.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's going to be a he really is. JP, always a pleasure. Enjoy the game tonight, and hopefully we'll talk next week because we're going to have a game 7.
Let's do that. Can't wait.
Thanks man. Bro. There he goes, J.P. Peterson, does host Hockey Night, Lightning Hockey Night live, and also has a show from 10 to noon in Tallahassee. In Tampa, JP is a Florida State grad. He's actually doing local TV when I was doing local radio there in the very early 90s. JP, I believe, began his career in the latter part of the 80s. Again, I'm going to lay tape on this because I'm going to the concert tonight, and I'm one of those guys that can't. My brother can do it. I can't. That's, you know, kind of turn your cell phone off and not look at scores. Forget about it. That's just impossible for me. So I'll watch it, you know, probably at some point on Saturday or Sunday or whatever the case may be. But, I mean, when you get in a ball game like this where, and I know that you, when you have a game on ice, the Colorado ball game, and some will question that. But Colorado's nearly a 2-1 favorite here. They're favored, you know, -190 to the dollar. You got to take chances. And you heard JP talking about pinching. Steven Stamkos is a Hall of Famer. He is a phenomenal leader. Man, 4 games have been played. He's got 2 points. That can't happen on the grandest of stages. Look at what him and Nikita Kucherov and Hedman did the last couple of years. And, you know, I knew the number was outrageous. I didn't realize it was 2 goals per game. In football terms, that would be like the Jaguars. Let's say they gave up 20 points at home defensively. That'd be like giving up 28, 29 points on the road. Whenever Jacksonville left here to play a football game. It's that big of a difference because goals are much tougher to come by in the National Hockey League. So should be really interesting tonight. I still would put my trust in Vasilevsky. You heard JP call Darcy Kemper basically a beer league goalie. I mean, they've been using a rotation of goaltenders all year, and there's not a lot of champions – Stanley Cup champions who have won with a rotation. You know, you typically settle on one guy and one guy only. And that's the way it's worked for most years. So we'll see if they could solve him tonight. But it also could end for Tampa. And what a run it has been. It does kind of, you know, it does stink that a call got involved in that. It's, as I said, very similar to the Miles Jack situation. You would just think with advanced technology, that wouldn't affect the outcome of a game, even though the rule is written in, it's been collectively bargained. I'll say it, whether it's hockey, football, baseball, or basketball, common sense is what it's all about. That needs to be written into it. A common sense play. And it seems like the ones that, outside of Miles Jack, the ones that we always hear about are with a couple of minutes left late in the fourth quarter, or in this case, in overtime, or, you know, in the ninth inning, or a couple of less than a minute to go in the NBA. Notice every NBA game and even college basketball game, you play 38, 39 minutes of college basketball, and within that last minute, they're going to the monitor to see whose hand touched the ball and who it went out off of, out of bounds. They always, so I know people, the reason why they didn't write it in is they don't want to have to do this early in the first quarter and early in the second quarter. But when the game is on the line, they do it in other sports. Why wouldn't they do it here in hockey?
Yeah, in the NBA, I think the rule is it has to be under 2 minutes, I think it is, for them to for them to look at it. Because you'll see all the time that, so, you know, like a player will touch a ball and then the players will look straight to the monitor and tell them to review it, and then that minute turns into like 10 minutes. The NBA, if they could fix the ending of games so they wouldn't review everything, especially the playoffs, I think they would get so much more. I mean, you wouldn't get a ton more, but you would get so much more entertainment.
You know, I didn't want to, because it's all about tonight's game, but one of the greatest injustices, historically speaking, in hockey, and I think it was the right call, but it was made on the ice, was whether or not Boston had too many players on the ice in 1979 when Guy Lafleur, who just passed the Blonde Bomber, right from inside the blue line, just blasted a slap shot right by Gilles Gilbert. And it changed the series. And the call in this case was made. The call two nights ago in Tampa wasn't made. So, yeah, my guess is less than 5% of you listening right now actually know what I'm talking about. Quite a lot happened in 1979. But it's kind of like the Miles Jack call, okay? Your children, your grandchildren, it doesn't matter what year it is, for crying out loud. It can be the year 2050. It can be the year 2060, and you'll still be talking about the Miles Jack wasn't down back in January of 2018. Certain calls last with you for the rest of your life. And it's one thing to get beat on the field or on the ice, and you fumble a football, or you throw a pick, or you make a game-winning It's another thing when the officials get involved. I've just always had a major problem with that. All right, if you want to comment, you can. Best way to do it is 641-1010 on the text line. Again, thank you to J.P. Peterson for joining us on the Farrah and Farrah phone line. We got much more to do, including at 720. Going to replay the interview I did on Monday with Susan Tedeschi and Derek Trucks. They're playing tonight at Daly's Place.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I know you wish that you could see in my window, wishing you could pull up the blind, and I'm wearing my Romeo flowers, just me and my made of mind. I know you like to walk in my garden and pull yourself up a big bouquet.
Sports and music, people. Music and sports. Stay away from the politics, at least on the radio, because that's miserable. Not music, man. You drift away. Not sports. And Tedeschi Trucks coming up tonight at 8 o'clock. Again, I'm going to replay the interview I did with Susan and Derek at 7:20. You know what's great about being a sports fan? Let me tell you this right now. If you had a device... You know, if you were to take my blood pressure right now, just by me mentioning Guy Lafleur bombing a slapper by Gilles Gilbert in 1979, raise my blood pressure. Okay? That was what, 10? 11? That's what's great about being a sports fan. No matter how old you get, you're always going to remember those type of moments. And it all depends on how you're wired. I'm wired where I'm going to remember the negative things more than the positive things. Positive things for me is a sense of relief. It's an absolute sense of satisfaction. But very, very briefly is it ever elation. Were losses, and I think I'm much better. The older I've gotten, I think I deal with losses much better now than I once did. But if you out there now are one of those, you know, whether you're a man or a woman, who can remember only the good times, and when the bad times happen, you just allow them to kind of, like, I'll never mention the name because I have too much respect for him. But I remember it was one point a few years ago, when I was complaining about Miles Jack wasn't down, and he texts me and we talk, he's like, get over it, bro. Turn the page. And I was like, wait a minute. Are you serious? And you played the game. I'm like, these opportunities are so few and far between. I mean, I don't care how good you are. You need a little bit of luck in order to win some championships. I'm not going to start complaining about the officials during the Golden State-Boston series, but it was obviously very debated. Boston fans went crazy whining.
Yeah.
Okay? I think Colorado's the better team here than Tampa. I predicted them to win in six. But when you give Kadri the benefit of the doubt, in my opinion, that's a break. Sometimes you get bounces. Sometimes you get breaks. I think every championship team is the benefit of things along those lines. And there's people listening right now that will never forget about Miles Jack wasn't down. It was announced, 2-3 weeks ago that Snoop Minnis has been elected into the Florida State Athletic Hall of Fame. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? This guy flunked out and cost Florida State a national title against Oklahoma. You had Robert Morgan out there. It's like he had mittens on his hands trying to catch the ball from Quiz. Oh, well, it's 22 years later. How dare you put a guy like that in the Hall of Fame? He cost them a national title. So, anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up. It happened in 1979. Again, I'm guessing that less than 5% of you honestly know about Guy Lafleur of the Canadiens. Too many men on the ice, man. It was like Jean Rattel. I'm trying to remember. Wayne Cashman, Rick Middleton, Jean Rattel on the ice, and there was an extra defenseman that came on for the sixth man. May 10th, 1979. You're a young dude.
Yep.
How do you look at it? Are you a elation for the win? Do you hold on to the grudge? And honestly, you're too young to really have a large sample size, but which way do you think you're going to go?
Yeah, I really don't celebrate wins that much. The losses kind of stick with me more. You got to think I'm a Gator fan, so the first year I started watching Florida was 06. And then, that was the Tebow years, and I was like, oh, this happens all the time. You see
that's,
06.
That's frightening, by the way. And you then became 08. A fan in 06?
Yeah. Wow. So Florida-Tennessee was the first game I ever watched. And then 2010 rolls around, and then the four-win season rolls around. So that kind of sticks with you more. Mm-hmm. But I'm nowhere near like what my dad is. Like my dad, whenever Spurrier, I forget what the streak was. They didn't lose a home game for all those years in the 90s, and whatever game it was, somebody could tell us on the text line, Design My Lifetime Enclosures. He broke the remote, and it went to pieces on carpet. So I want to ask you, have you ever like broke anything or punched a hole in the wall?
Bro, I almost got thrown off campus for a TV when the ball went through Bill Buckner's legs in 1986. I care about my gig here, so Frangie tells a story which I told him, which I said live on the radio, which is the hardest thing you can ever do if you really love a team. What I said about Tim Wakefield when he allowed that 12th inning home run to Aaron Boone. I'm not going to repeat it now because I'm embarrassed by it. Even though the statute of limitations are long gone. I mean, that happened in 2003. The answer to your question is absolutely yes. Never physically violent with anyone else.
Right,
but,
right. When was the last time? Like, what was the game that you can remember?
One was on my phone being in London when Aguayo went to go kick the game winner and Georgia Tech blocked it and took it all the way back.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Might be a hole in the wall somewhere in London.
That was like 20.
I don't know what it was, but
Jimbo was still there?
I honestly don't remember. I mean, I can tell you every game and every loss from 1987 to 2000. I can't tell you what Florida State did 2 years ago. When you suck like this, the losses, they just drain you. Where I honestly can't remember anything.
That was 2015.
There's been some Jaguar ones. I mean, obviously, Miles Jack wasn't down. But, the Miles Jack wasn't down was brutal for me. But the 3rd and 18, the Danny Amendola got me because that was such a great defense. And you can't allow a 3rd and 18. And that whole game got me because, I'll be honest with you. When I was there, I grew up there and part of me was a New England Patriot fan, and clearly I switched. And anyone who's ever listened to me knows that I've switched. But the emotions of that game and the Miles Jack call was one thing, and the Danny Amendola 3rd and 18 was one thing. But just standing there on the sideline, watching the way that they called that game in the second half, especially the fourth quarter. And you know what? I don't have time to go through it right now. I actually have saved here every play from their last four drives. I've saved it because every once in a while I like to mention it because it was just a total abomination. I mean, they passed on four. They ran on first down all four times. They never picked up more than 2 yards. Picked up 2, 1, 0, and -1. They passed on second down. Incomplete pass. 3 of those 4. What does that do? Stops the clock. Third and long. And all that. I mean, you go back and look at the drives, man. They were 3 plays, less than a minute, and they punted. They were the most conservative offense in a situation where you had a chance to win that game. You had a chance to knock down the mighty beast, as Doug Peterson in Philadelphia did 2 weeks later. And Jacksonville sat on a lead and was so ridiculously conservative. So, yeah, there was a stretch there where I was just angry, you know, the entire part of the game. And that was a bad one. No doubt about it. 0551, Baloo, hey. I don't get to listen all that much. I have this Colorado team reminds me of the 2019 Lightning team. Other than blowing in the first round, they're going to be a tough out the rest of the while. I'll say so. They've lost 3 games in the playoffs. I mean, Colorado swept through Nashville in 4, lost 2 to St. Louis. Was actually talking to Mark Lamping about that last night, the St. Louis native, you know, grew up there. And of course, he's president of the Jags. Took 6 games in the second round. Conference finals, swept through Edmonton, which was a very good team. And here they are now, up 3 games to 1 with an opportunity to win the Stanley Cup. So that's 4, that's 8, that's 12. I mean, they're 15-3 in the playoffs. Think about that for a moment. Incredible. That is the Colorado Avalanche. All right, coming up in our second hour, I got a couple of football things I do want to get into. Your comments, absolutely, 641-1010 on the text line, brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. And coming up at 720, going to replay the interview. Derek Truck, Susan Tedeschi. I did it on Monday. They play tonight coming up at 8 o'clock. They're at Daly's Place.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Maybe I'll sit a segment out. By the way, the interview coming up in about 15 minutes. Spoiler, Derek tells us about playing all on the Watchtower in town recently with Dave Matthews. And he said it kind of brought out an inner Jimi Hendrix in him. So it was fun to watch them last night. I got there at the tail end, obviously, the rehearsal, but not the party. And it's going to go on tonight, no doubt about it. It's one of their greats right here, no doubt. All right, 641-1010. If you want to get on in, you can. On the text line brought to you by Lifetime Enclosures. It's a busy night as well. The Shrimp are in town. Also, the Sharks are in town. So get there early. Parking's going to be something. All right, some people on me, 2113, they can't understand why I'm being so positive about Florida State. You know, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I thought I, like, gave every precaution available, every warning available, the fact that this is not normal for me. I actually feel really good about what's going on over there at Florida State. And I can't remember the last time I had anything positive to say about the hierarchy there. Okay? David Colburn, joke. Stan Wilcox, joke. John Thrasher, joke. Eric Barron was, he was okay, but use it as a stepping stone. T.K. Weatherall had so much admiration for him going, joke, the way he handled the Bowden thing and everything that he did. I mean, I don't care who you are or what you do. It all starts at the top. It's all about leadership. Okay? It's very rare that you find a very successful company, a very successful franchise, which I guess could be the same thing, a very successful relationship, albeit personal or business-wise, without great leaders. You need someone to lead. You need someone that everyone else can look up to. In Florida State is not, I mean, when I was going to school there, man, you had Bernie Slager as your president, okay? Everyone loved Bernie. I mean, he used to host little ice cream socials, man. There'd be about 30,000 women there and about 300 men. And I had the time of my life, okay? And, you know, listen, Hootie Ingram and Bob Goyne and even on the interim, Wayne Hogan, okay, Dave Hart and I got into it big time when I was over there. But Dave Hart was still a hell of a leader. I just didn't, on a personal side of things, we didn't see eye to eye. Just because I'm in a market, I'm not going to massage something that's going wrong, okay? Florida State would drop a turd. You can shine it. You can disinfect it. You can sterilize it. You can cleanse it. It's still a freaking turd. Okay? So, you know, when you lose games that they shouldn't have lost, I blew a gasket. Dave Hart didn't like it. That's fine. He was one of the first guys who thanked me when I took the job here or when I took the job to Chicago. Even though I was on at night in Tallahassee. Clearly wanted me out of town, and I'm fine with that. He made it crystal clear. He did about everything that he did there as far as leadership. How's the leadership been here in Jacksonville? Look at last year. I mean, you were lied to. I was lied to. Trent Baalke was lied to. Shad Khan was lied to. Mark Lamping was lied to. All those players, all those coaches, all those sponsors. All of you fans, you were lied to. That is awful leadership. I don't know anything about business, okay? But I've read an awful lot. Bobby Bowden was a war buff. He would talk your ear off about this, whether it was on his house at the golf course or you'd visit with him in his office and he'd have the latest novel there and he used to study generals. He used to study leadership. I mean, going back hundreds and hundreds of years, obviously different countries, just to learn about being a great leader. I think Michael Alford, this is the best bit of news that Florida State has had in a very long time. And Link Jarrett in baseball is one thing. I know a lot of you like, Blue, shut up. It's obvious. Meat wasn't working. You went out and got a guy who played there. But are you trying to tell me you would have had faith that if it was still, I don't know, John Thrasher, if it was still David Colburn, that they would have gotten this right? I mean, honestly, ask it that. There's always a different way to ask a question. Michael Alford got this thing done in no time. And I'm sorry, But if you can't handle my positivity for once on the Seminoles, deal with it. And I hope it's only a sign of things to come. In my opinion, this has to send a message to Mike Norvell and the football team. Fix it. The folks are tired of the excuses. Fix it. And, yeah, Florida State cries poor, unlike anyone. I mean, sometimes I look at my school and, you know, it's, you should have an emblem saying, we'll work for food. I mean, it's terrible. Boy, they cry poor. And part of the reason why they cry poor is leadership. They've made all the wrong moves. So I feel good about this. I feel like something real positive could end up coming out of it. You know, I did some reading today. Somehow it got me off to this website called on3.com. Have you seen it?
Yes, that is a good website.
So all right, so the younger generation is on it.
Yes.
Not me. I learned about it today. And as always, I'm being honest here. Arch Manning is worth $3.1 million as far as his NIL valuation. At this point, we know that he just gave a commitment to Texas, but, you know, he's getting ready for his senior season. $3.1 million as a 17-year-old who hasn't even played his senior year in high school.
And I still feel like that's probably not enough. If you said over under 3 million, I've been like definitely over.
Now they got Bronny in here, Bronny James, $6.3 million.
I can believe that.
Bryce Young, you know, obviously he's already playing at Alabama, $3.1 million. Arch Manning, $3.1 million. Mikey Williams, $2.6 million. He's a guard out of North Carolina. Out of the Vertical Academy. Caleb Williams out of Gonzaga, quarterback. $2.4 million. That's got to be, what? Gonzaga, this got to be a high school situation, right? It can't be college, right? Unless they're talking hoops. No, he's a quarterback. He's out of a high school called Gonzaga. I mean, this is just, it's just incredible. Again, I'm still trying to figure out all the rules, and it changes statewide, or it does. I mean, listen, I know, never mind. Different states, different laws. How does that sound? Okay, and that includes NIL. And the state of Florida got behind the eight ball on it compared to some other states. But I can't believe now they actually have a website that is devoted to what they believe is the value for these kids in high school, and I guess in college as well, as to what they are actually worth. I mean, this is just beyond comprehensible to me.
Yeah, and it's an estimate because they don't show how much they make.
So. Now, is this website, is it several different things, or is this what they do?
On three, so I know, like, for Florida, they have, like, their Gator. It's, like, it's pretty much like a 24/7, but it's a new one.
I don't know how I stumbled on it today. I was reading something, and then all of a sudden it pulled up. But I was just totally fascinated by this. You know, we had the talk yesterday a little bit about, historically speaking, and I tried to limit it to around here. You know, if you look at Georgia, Florida, Florida State, Miami, who would have been the biggest ticket guys ever? And, you know, the obvious answers are going to be those who won a Heisman Trophy and, you know, Deion Sanders and Emmitt Smith. But no, that's not always the case. These five stars, these very highly decorated players, oftentimes don't work out. The best example we got was William Williams, the linebacker, who went to Miami and failed. The two I brought up were, you could say what you want about every Florida State quarterback who's ever come in. Dan Kendra was as highly regarded as any of them. Marquette Smith, the running back, I don't think there's ever been a higher recruited running back that went to Florida State. That includes Sammy Smith. And those guys, it didn't work out.
And by the way, Florida, one of their running backs.
We mentioned Bobby Sabolehouse.
There was a running back that's currently on the team, Alex Bowman,
Oh, yeah.
Five-star came from Clemson, didn't play at Clemson, come to Florida. He's not hitting the transfer portal.
So that's three teams in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be.
Yep.
We did look that up with Bobby Sabahouse. He is. He is a producer right now in Hollywood. But Bobby Sabahouse was a huge recruit at that particular time. So, you know, they're not all going to work out. And, you know, that's the one side of this that I don't think has been discussed enough. Again, this is new and we're still learning about it. But you're in college, and it can be the prime of your career. And, you know, there's been phenomenal college players who just flamed out in the NFL. I look at Peter Warwick. Look at Rashad Green. He broke all the records. And they would have made a pretty penny in college. But what is going to be really fascinating now is when you got guys like Arch Manning coming, we got these higher-regarded high school kids coming in. How is that going to work with your roster? Let's just say, and I don't know Texas's roster up and down. I know that they were 5-7 last year. I know that they have Quinn Ewers, who they got as a transfer from Ohio State, who, by the way, was a number one recruit at quarterback, a five-star, and he's there. Now, you know, Arch Manning's still a year away. But what if you're an offensive tackle? What if you're a corner and you've been a two-year starter and you're getting ready to be a starter for a third year, okay? What's your value? Isn't the value turning into the players who are coming to the school as opposed to, well, you know, he's only a guard, and he's been a starter for the last 2.5 years. Because of COVID, he got the extra year. He's going to still start for us his junior season, his senior season. No, we can kind of keep him on the on the cheap. Is this almost going to be like a manageable salary cap where guys that you already have on your team can make the minimum? The incoming guys are going to make more. You know what's going to happen? You're going to have even more guys who are going to say, I've started 33 games for you, and you're not paying me anything, and you're playing some new guard to come in. That's it. I'm going in the transfer portal.
Yeah, and I mean,
Allow another team to bid on a guy who has 33 career starts in college. I'll come play for your school.
And I'll add to it. I mean, think about the coaches that are going into, say this season, Sarkisian doesn't do well. So he knows next year, he'll be on the hot seat all year. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he goes to these collectives or whoever it is that gives money to the players, says, hey, I got 1 year left. We need to get this player, and this player can help us win right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is all just endless.
Well, there's that side of it, but then there's also the side of it, and let's credit Lane Kiffin for bringing this up in that very lengthy article that came out, I don't know, maybe six weeks, 7 weeks ago. It was very good, where he said, what if you got a booster that really reaches deep into his pocket? Okay, let's say he whips out $1 million and he wants it to go to this particular guy. And again, I don't know all the rules here. They're different in every state. And there is uncertainty here because I don't think anyone fully, totally understands how the NIL works. And, you know, it's the amount of money that comes in, okay, we're still not crystal clear on how that is. I mean, there's a report they're going to go investigate Miami now. And did they do it unethically?
Which is laughable.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that question because we're still learning about this. But my point I'm trying to make is, what if some booster reaches down deep and he says, this is going to get this guy to your school. Play him. Okay? Play him. And what if you get out on the practice field and he's not as good as the guy who's your starter? So what you have to deal with now, it's almost like, what was the name of that show? Friday Night Lights or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's almost like you got the big boosters spending the money, say, play my kid, and the coach who's out there coaching him is like, he's not ready. The guy ahead of him is better.
And it's then it'll definitely feel like professional sports where you have this, you know, you got this running back or receiver that you've paid X amount of dollars for, and you're like, well, we have to play him because he's worth all this money, and he's a top 10, top 20 receiver in the league, and then you're kind of stuck for there.
Tell you what, there's a lot of coaches on the hot seat this year. You know, we're going to get to talk with the coaches from the ACC and SEC coming here before you know it. I think we head to North Carolina for the ACC meetings on, I think it's July 19th. Okay, Dino Babers under fire. Mike Norvell is under fire. I happen to think the Mac Brown thing is done. I know I'm in the minority there. Jeff Collins under fire at Georgia Tech. But you mentioned national guys, man. What, Steve Sarkisian? I mean, if Brian Harsin was fired any moment now at Auburn, would anyone be surprised?
No.
Okay. Chip Kelly, you know, you got the Scott Frost. Herm Edwards has been hanging on by a thread at Arizona State. You've got some big jobs here that all it takes is one boost. I mean, Auburn has always been run. Auburn has always been underground. Was it Bobby Lauder years ago and all the things that's ever happened there? I mean, I saw the picture. It popped up on my Twitter the other day of the alleged young lady. She had next to nothing on. Can you imagine being a higher up at Auburn and having pictures? Think about what it was like around here when we saw Urban Meyer in the bar. I mean, can you imagine being, and now we're talking about, I guess, still an amateur sport, okay, where you got youngsters 18 to 21, 18 to 22, and you have a photo like this that pops up on social media everywhere that basically says, hey, Harsin, now we understand why you had an affair. I mean, it's one thing to be a pro franchise. How do you do that when you're a university?
Yeah, and the options there are unlimited.
Yeah.
So.
All right. It's going to be very interesting, you know, to see how all of this really goes. I still want to learn a lot about it. And I think there's a lot of people out there that are still trying to figure out, you know, it's all about collectives. The whole Jimbo Nick Saban deal, it was all about collectives. I'm one of those who sides with Nick Saban here. I don't think Nick Saban said anything wrong. You know, Jimbo, you look at his recruiting classes and then look at it this year. And then every guy who came in, how they got paid. They got paid because of collectives. It was dispersed to them. Nick Saban didn't say anything wrong. And that happened, what, a month ago, 6 weeks ago? I don't know what it was. Jimbo made it sound like every coach who's ever been with Saban or under Saban knows that he cheats. There are incredible investigative reporters out there. Look at the New York Times piece that came out a couple of weeks ago with the 66 women and Deshaun Watson. Are you telling me that no one has been digging around Nick Saban and no one has been able to find anything at this particular time with Nick Saban? It's just amazing to me. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to rerun the interview I did with Derek Trucks and Susan Tedeschi on Monday. We'll play that for you. They are in concert at Daly's Place tonight. Los Lobos opening up for them. It all gets underway at 8 o'clock.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Now. Another interview on the Farrah and Farrah phone line, brought to you by the accident attorneys at Farrah and Farrah.
All right, I caught up with Susan Tedeschi and Derek Trucks on Monday night. Let's replay that interview. I began by bringing in one of my favorite Boston Bruin fans. That's Susan Tedeschi. All right, the brand new album is out, and it is a masterpiece. Tedeschi Trucks, of course, they're in town on Friday night. But look at this box set, 24 original songs. Let's bring them in right now. Of course, she is my favorite Bostonian, and she has called Jacksonville her home for decades. She is Susan Tedeschi. Hello, Susan.
Hey, how's it going, Rick?
It's doing really well. And her husband is Derek Trucks, of course, legendary guitarist and one of Duval's favorite sons. Derek, how you doing?
Yo, I'm good, man. I'm good. Good to chat with you again.
Man, tell you what, we had a fun weekend, and I will say this, Derek is getting much better on the golf course, so it sounds like you guys need to get out and start touring.
Yeah, it's time. too much time off. I'm shooting under 90 or close. It's time to get back on the road.
Yeah. How excited are you for this leg that, you know, obviously begins right here in your hometown, Derek? It begins at Daly's Place. You were the first band to ever play at Daly's Place. Shad Khan introduced you. And, you know, last year you had half your band out there, you know, kind of the remains of COVID and what have you. But the excitement to kick things off here beginning on Friday night.
I mean, it's been a long time, and we toured a bit last year, but it was kind of just fits and stops and starts, and it was never really full on. So this is kind of the beginning of us getting back to it, full at it, full band, full crew. We just released a few records, so it's always nice to start in your hometown too. And bands showing up tomorrow, we'll start rehearsing, and so we can remember all of this music, and then we'll get at it. But we're excited, man. It's going to be a good tour.
Yeah. Susan, I Am the Moon Deluxe Box is now out, and again, we just played a track off it. But man, the effort that was put into this, I know it took you a couple of years with the 24 brand new songs.
Well, actually, the first of the four records is out. The other three haven't come out yet. They come out this summer. Actually, the next one comes out just after we played Daly's Place. It comes out on June 28th, and it's released in stores on July 1st. But you can watch it on YouTube Live on June 28th. And that one is Ascension. And, yeah, we're really excited for all of these to come out and start adding them to the playlist so we can, you know, give the people some new material. So we've been excited to get out and play all this new stuff. So we're looking forward to that.
All right, so Crescent is out. Ascension comes out at the end of the month, then The Fall, and then Farewell later in time.
Yep, so yep, July 26th and 29th is The Fall, and Farewell on YouTube on August 23rd, and it comes out August 26th.
How hard is it to write songs? I've always wondered that. And again, you got 24 of them here. Is it always lyrics first and then music? Can it be the exact opposite? How does that process go?
It's usually the opposite. Usually you get the music first and then lyrics, unless the words just come to you, and then you write music around it. But there's a lot of different ways to write a song. And sometimes you can have a little bit of both, and then you maybe just got to work away at it until you have the whole
thing. You know, you're always trying to capture things. Like when you're out on the road, there'll be improvisational bits of music that happen that you just remember, and you'll kind of tuck it away for later. Or Mike Madison, who is a singer and songwriter in the band, incredible musician, but he's always jotting down things that he overhears people saying. Like you just kind of constantly are compiling ideas. And then when you get a chance to get together and write, there's usually just a wealth of things kicking around. This one was a little different because we had 2 years off forced upon us by just the world we're in. And so we had a lot of time together, and once we could get people tested early in the lockdown, everyone came and kind of lived in our house and studio, and we just did a ton of writing, and it was just a really prolific time. But it was fun. It was fun to just be able to make music. We had no gigs or tours in sight, so there was no pressure that way. So it was a different experience this time around, for sure.
Tedeschi Trucks, they're in concert here Friday night at Daly's Place. Still get some seats. Let's go to Daly's Place and make sure you're there. Los Lobos. What? Los Lobos will open up, and you said there's another act as well that'll be a part of this?
Yeah.
Actually, one of our bandmates, Gabe Dixon, his trio is opening.
Okay.
And then Los Lobos. So Los Lobos is really like a major headliner. So they're kind of like a co-headliner with us, and Gabe's going to open the shows with his trio.
Mm. look forward to that. Should be a tremendous amount of fun. You know, Derek and I were playing golf, and in I was asking him about the last time out a year ago. I believe it was a six-person band. And Susan, I mean, I was just totally blown away by you on guitar. Obviously, we've always known about your voice, but in that particular concert that I saw, and I think I've seen you seven or eight times, that was the most I've ever really seen you, you know, pick it. And it was just absolutely fascinating. So, you know, what's it like this time around now that you have everyone back there playing with you? Will we still see as much, or is that your husband?
Hopefully you'll get to see that as much. You know, it really is up to, you know, just how it flows, you know, night to night and depending on the set list and, you know, what kind of songs we do. But in that setting, for sure, I definitely had a lot more space and opportunities to play more. Mm-hmm. But with a 12-piece band, I don't always get that many chances, really.
But once the genie's out of the bottle, like, you can't put it back in. Sue can't be stopped.
Yeah.
She's going to get her point.
Derek, when you said earlier about the music, like, does that come with it, you know, when you're improvising? I mean, maybe you find a little something during a, you know, a guitar solo, or all of a sudden maybe it's experimental that you're like, wow, I mean, this, I can see that I could do something with this, with something down the road, or is it the complete opposite of that?
No, that happens a lot. I mean, it happens with the singers. Like, you know, Sue is always going for things that you maybe haven't heard her do before, and some of it sticks. I mean, some of these, every once in a while you'll stumble across a melody and it stays with you, and that's when you kind of know you should probably do something with it. but yeah, some of the best stuff happens that way. Sometimes you pre-hear it, but a lot of times it just happens on the fly. I mean, the beauty of a band like this is everyone's extremely creative and kind of restless in that way. So it's, you know, from night to night, from song to song, you really don't know what you're in for, even on stage. But that keeps it exciting.
Susan, does music and lyrics, does it come in bunches? I mean, can you line up a time and say, all right, we're going to write, and then all of a sudden you get there and you're stuck, and then, like, you're not expecting to perhaps put down some lyrics, and all of a sudden it just, I mean, you could be running an errand or something, and it will hit you. Does you know, writing music and lyrics happen that way?
Yeah, I mean, also kind of like Derek said, in the way that this band is really free to improvise, that can happen actually writing as well. Like, while they're playing something, I might hear something kind of, or an idea kind of come into mind. And then if I just let go and just start singing it instead of even writing it down, it might actually just come out.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually happened on this record with a song called The Gary, where they would play the song and I sang a verse and I was like, hey, play it again. I think I have another verse in my head, and I kind of got a couple ideas, and then it would just flow out.
Yeah.
But then there's songs in the past where I've actually dreamt about a song and literally had all the words just come out after a dream. And then I've had other times where you have to work at it. You're like, I really don't know what to go with this. Mike, do you have any ideas? Gabe, Derek, you know, do you guys have any ideas like what this could be? And then, you know, usually one of the three of them would come up and give me an idea or would help me finish something if I get stuck.
Now that is super cool, because I can navigate my dreams. I can take my dreams to different places. I know that I'm actually dreaming. You can dream up lyrics of a song and wake up and write them down right then?
Yeah. Well, actually, when I wrote In the Garden, I wrote the whole song, like lyrics, music, everything in the dream.
Yeah, it's funny. You do wake up with that stuff sometimes. You gotta get it down there or you forget it.
Yeah. Wow.
It's pretty amazing.
All right. As we get ready to wrap things up, you know, I talk sports here all the time, and I find it very interesting that, you know, whether it's kids in college or you get to the pro level here with the Jags, you always hear about motivation and preparation for the big game. What's it like to be a musician? And, you know, I'm guessing you're probably going to go on stage around, what, 9:30 on Friday night. How do you go through the day? Are some days easier than others to get ready to take the stage? How does that process go?
Well, Peyton Manning had a good point. He said, you know, it's always good to prepare. It's always good to practice and to be ready. And he's right. I mean, the days that you're not, the days you kind of mess up. So mm-hmm. definitely good to get out there and know what you're doing and know the song. The thing with our band is, you know, we're changing the set every day. So we're not playing the same set every day. So it's not easy to be perfectly prepared every day.
Right.
And we might learn a song that day. And then it's like, oh, crap. I hope I remember this and know what I'm doing. You know, so it's a lot of practice and memory, you know, of motor memory, you know, like getting your hands to do something and maybe not thinking about that and just working on remembering the words. You know, so there's a lot of different ways that you have to prepare. And
I mean,
we all have our different things.
We ride the band ourselves and the band pretty hard. I mean, once we're in rehearsals or back out on the road, I mean, we set up a rehearsal room in every venue we play. And, you know, before sound check, but before the show, you're in there working things up because, I mean, we try to dip into a lot of different tunes. So some runs, it'll be 100-120 different songs you play. So you gotta stay on it. But it's good. I mean, it keeps everybody on their toes. It keeps the band from getting bored. you gotta keep pushing it. It's nice to have a deep playbook.
Incredible. Derek, I didn't even get a chance to ask you about the Jags. I know we talked about it on Saturday. Things appear to be on the come around here, which is a good thing. And hopefully you'll be able to make a couple of games this year, you and Susan. I know you're going to be busy, though, out there on the road.
I mean,
we're
going
to be able
to
make about 4 or 5 games.
Yeah, we're going to make a few. 18 years season ticket holders, so we're deep in it. I'm actually taking the over this year on the wins. I think, 6.5 is what they're saying. I think we're going to start moving in the right direction. I mean, yeah. I've said that before, but I've also not said it before.
Absolutely.
I feel better about this one.
All right.
But, you know, we'd love to see Trevor make the turn, right?
Oh, man. It's what this city needs. It's what this city wants, no doubt. And Susan, unfortunately, our Celtics laid a major egg just a couple of nights ago.
I know they did. They gave up. You know, you and I actually had this talk. You know, we talked, and I think that during that third quarter, they either got, either super exhausted or they just gave up. I don't know what happened, but I just saw, like, something dropping them. It's like you have to fight every second.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both incredible teams with huge swings both ways. And honestly, Golden State won it that night, and they deserved it.
Yeah, they sure did. They played better. And I hope Derek doesn't get mad at me, but obviously he knows you, and Carlos Santana knows Derek and knows you very well and knows that you've got a little bit of Boston in you. And he we're playing golf, and all of a sudden he shows me this text from Carlos Santana hugging on the Larry Brown NBA championship trophy.
Yep, he's a Golden State fan. So I didn't tell Sue that. I didn't want her to not like Carlos.
Yeah, that was great.
Hey, I don't have a problem with that. I respect all of the teams. I mean, honestly, I grew up playing basketball. I went to Dave Cowan's basketball school. I love watching any team that is playing great.
Yep.
So kudos to any team that's working hard and getting it done.
As I let you go, I know you went on stage, you know, just recently with Dave Matthews right here in Jacksonville. I absolutely loved the way that you guys performed the old Bob Dylan song, All on the Watchtower. I don't think I've ever heard it that way, the way it kind of started slow, then you really got after it. But boy, that seemed like that must have been a lot of fun to play that on stage.
It was
fun.
And honestly, we've never played it that way either. I guess that's the way that Dave has arranged it. And it was kind of fun doing it that way. Pretty cool.
Yeah, we worked that up with him about 10 minutes before his show. He came in the dressing room and we worked it out. But I got to play those Hendrix licks for the first time in my life. So that was fun. It's always
absolutely
nice to have an excuse to rip out some Hendrix riffs.
Yeah. Oh, that was awesome. Hey, everything's changed now as far as how you can get albums and streaming. What's the best way that the folks here in Jacksonville can get the very latest of, again, you're going to release one part per month here. One is already out. The other's coming here at the very end of June. What is the best way that listeners should go to be able to get this?
I mean, you can find it on all the streaming services. I think, of course, Apple Music has it. The albums are coming out for free on YouTube Live. You can watch there's a film with each album. You can watch those when those come out, which are kind of fun. And then we made the box set will be vinyl. So there's 4 LPs that come out when the whole thing hits. So if you're an audiophile, that's the way to listen to it. The vinyl, it sounds amazing. We dealt with all 8 test pressings and the the lacquers and the all of that stuff, and it sounded pretty incredible. So, yeah, but anyway, you know, however you listen, it should be out there. If not, we'll call and yell at somebody.
All right, guys. Susan, thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
Hey,
yeah, man, it's
you
good
so
to talk
much.
To you, man.
And Derek.
And go Jags.
Yes.
We have faith this year. We have hope.
Okay, yes.
We have hope.
Yes.
They're going to work hard, and they're not going to let us down.
All right,
Coach
guys.
Is going to be on the plane back every game. It's going to be incredible.
It's going to be a blast. Hey, we'll see you soon. See you soon, guys. Yes, thank you so much.
Talk to you
hey,
soon.
Thanks
see
for having us, Rick.
That was Monday night. Tedeschi Trucks, they're in town. They're getting ready to get on stage in a little bit more than 1 hour. Still tickets available. Daily's Place. We'll see you out there. Final touches coming up with Rick Ballew. This is the home of the Jags.
Beaches Jewelry and Pawn is ready to help. If you need extra cash or a quick loan, Beaches Jewelry and Pawn has cash in hand. They also love to buy items of value. They need gold, silver coins, and flatware, jewelry, guitars, and of course, guns.
Men suffering from PE or ED? Has Viagra, Cialis, or Levitra let you down? Regardless of your age or past medical history, you'll see results on your first visit at Prime Men's Medical Center, or you pay nothing, guaranteed. Call us at 664-8217.
I'm Hayes Carline, and what I say goes. Listen to my closing argument presented by the personal injury law firm of Harrell & Harrell weekdays on The Frangie Show. Can you handle the truth?
This 1010XL 92.5 FM hour is powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 904-600-4000. That's 904-600-4000.
Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I don't know what's up with the weather. I don't check. I was told earlier in the week, of course, got a golf game. We got a golf game tomorrow?
I do.
We need to get out together. We need to teach you a lesson.
On Dude, the golf I course. Almost broke 100 today for the first time.
Well, then let's definitely play. But the weather should have, you know, on the golf course should favor you. You're a younger guy. You're thin.
Recover faster.
You know, back nine for me can always be a little bit of a stretch, especially on a Saturday when I'm not working or I'm not driving. That means I'm drinking. But I was told 2 days ago there was like a 60% chance of rain around my tee time. And now, you know, my GF tells me, there's now like a slight chance of a shower.
Yeah, so, I saw no rain.
Yeah, tomorrow, I mean,
for the whole weekend.
It changes all the time. So anyway, yeah. It'd be nice, even though Daly's Place is covered, it's a huge city. I mean, I guess it rained in certain parts today.
Yeah, it was all south of us.
Didn't rain in the bubble that I live in over on Bartram. But yeah, it's going to be a blast. Dylan, Denmark, appreciate your work this week. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Have a good weekend to you too.
There he goes, Dylan, Denmark. Thank you to JP Peterson. Game 5 coming up in about 20 minutes tonight from the Mile High City. Can Denver, can Colorado, the Avalanche, can they win their first Stanley Cup since 2001? Or will Tampa force a sixth game this weekend? And again, we replay the interview with Susan Tedeschi and Derek Trucks. They're playing tonight at Daly's Place. Folks, have a great weekend. My name is Rick Ballew. I'll see you at the concert. And I'll talk with you Monday at 6 o'clock.